welcome back to Your Favorite Album Podcast, the show where we sit down with someone and say, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is music journalist, podcaster, and guitarist for United Nations, Jonah Bear.
Thank you. That would you nailed it.
I know, first try, right?
Yeah.
Actually, that was the third try, but
I chose to edit that up.
No, I'm honest.
Yeah.
I don't want him to hear it, but I can tell him it happened. Before we get started, I want to say, before I even launched this podcast, when I started doing the Nerd Geek Dork podcast, I remember talking to you when you had just launched Going Off Track, and you were like, Adam, just do it. Just do podcasts. That's it. Just go.
Yeah.
And I took that, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do a damn podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did it. I feel like people ask me about podcasts, and I don't handle any of the technical stuff. So people are, how do you do a podcast? And I'm always like, email this guy. So I feel like I'm not super helpful, but I'm glad that you did it. And this podcast is so cool, and I feel like you've had so many people I know on it.
Why, thank you. Well, you know everybody. So, you know, that kind of helps.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's a cool idea.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, sir. Now, I'm just going to jump right into the fun stuff and ask you, what's your favorite album, Jonah?
Well, Adam, I had a lot of anxiety about this. You asked me a couple weeks ago, and it was, I couldn't figure it out, and I was like, you should just commit to doing it, and then you'll have to figure it out. So, a lot of albums in the running. Can I give a couple honorable mentions?
Yeah, go for it.
I would say Gorilla Biscuits Start Today, NoFX, Punk and Drublic. Pretty much everything by Integrity, especially the early stuff. Wilco Being There, the Jealous Sound record, so many records.
It was
Hot Water Music, Forever and Counting, Great Separate the Magnets, so many. But when it came down to it, I was sitting on my porch two nights ago on my balcony staring into nothingness. Trying to think about it, and I was listening to Stay What You Are But Save the Day, and I have it just hit me. I was like, yeah, this is what you should do, because this record still sounds so incredible, even though it's 13 years old. And I have a really interesting kind of personal relationship with this record, because the first cover story I ever wrote for Alternative Press was on Save the Day when this record was coming out, and I was still in college. And I had interned there, and this was my first big story, and they had gotten in this van accident, and all this crazy stuff happened. The guitar player, Dave, could pop his teeth out. Oof. The photo, it's a crazy situation, and I spent so much time listening to this record when I was writing the story, because we talked about it so much. And then, a couple years ago, they did an AP, I guess it was in 2000, this came out in what, in 01?
Yeah.
So, in 2011, they did a class of 2001 album thing, and I did it on this record. And I wasn't writing for them that much, but I was like, this is something I'm still passionate about, even though I don't know who most of the bands at magazine are now. So I wrote about it and talked to Chris about it more. And Chris was on my podcast last year, and we've talked a lot about, I feel like we've really grown together with meditation, spirituality, and we have a lot of the same interests. And this album, I feel like, contains the seeds of so much of that, and it's awesome. It's such an awesome record.
It really is. I guess I was 16, 17 when it came out. Oh man, so good.
Yeah, I mean, also what I didn't really realize as much then is the bass lines on this record are so crazy. They're so busy but so tasteful, and I think Evan was 22 or something, really young, and it's one of maybe my favorite bass lines ever, overall. I would say up with Operation Ivy and Hot Water Music, it's crazy. It's so many notes, but it's so, he's doing his own melody underneath everything else.
Yeah, I've meant to look into his other stuff that he's done, but I've just never gotten around to it.
I don't think he does a lot of music stuff. I want to get him on the podcast. I look at his stuff on Twitter sometimes, and it seems like he lives in New York, and I think he doesn't really do as much music stuff, but does something else. But the record, it's crazy how good it is, and it's interesting seeing what those guys did kind of before this record and after this record.
Yeah,
because I really didn't like In Reverie when it came out.
Come on, it was so good,
dude. I will say this, I was working at AP and I reviewed it, and I remember saying it was a step backwards for them. You have to keep in mind, I was super into them on Cancel It Out. I saw them in their first tour in like a basement, and that was when like everyone compared them to Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought they were a Lifetime ripoff, and my friend's band opened. They were a straight edge band called Set Straight, and they played a Lifetime cover and dedicated it to them. And I remember looking over at Chris, and he looked so bummed. This is probably like 1997 or 98 or something. And I was with them sort of like as a fan since like the very beginning. So it was like that, then Through Being Cool, which was like sort of like Stay What You Are but better, and then this, or like the second record but better, and then this record came kind of like out from nowhere. I feel like it wasn't an Equal Vision, it was like a major label, they had like a real budget, they had just gotten in this van accident that had like made Chris kind of question all the stuff about what life means. And I feel like, you know, the dude who produced it did like Elliott Smith records and like huge records, so I feel like the sounds they're able to get and the songs. It was because it's kind of like not really a punk record.
No, not at all. No.
You know, like I feel like it has like a little bit of palm muting and that stuff, but it's much more of like, it's much more moody and kind of open. And yeah, musically, I feel like it's weird. Like I feel like a lot of stuff from that era I listen to now and it sounds kind of cheesy. And it does, like this record doesn't, because I feel like it didn't sound like anything else.
Yeah, it's funny because if you were to show someone this and then also show them Through Being Cool, you could be like, okay, yeah, I can see this being the same band. But if you showed them this and then Cancel It Down,
totally,
it's like, oh.
Or like kids who listen to them now when they play old songs must be like, what is this? This is so fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what happened with In River was I wrote that I thought it was a step backwards for them.
I think I had that magazine. So probably. I was like, come on, man, this was great.
So then Leslie, who worked there, did a feature on them, and she was like, so some people think, and I had knew Chris like at this point, and that was like one of like the really weird parts of my job, was like, in order to really like, you become friends with so many bands through your job, but you also like, when you're honest about their records, like most people can't take criticism very well. And like, having experienced both sides, like I get it, But Chris was like, I don't understand. She asked him about it. He was like, I don't understand how someone can take a step backwards. This is like where I am now. And then, to be honest, I saw them on that tour, and Chris was like totally cool, like super nice. Was like, hey, you know, like I understood what you said. Like, you know, like I might not agree, but I totally respect your opinion. It was cool. And when they play the songs live, actually, I thought they were much better. I feel like the recording, just like the way the vocals are recorded on that record, or something. It just, I wasn't into it. Because I felt like when I hear them play those songs now, I'm like, these are okay. But I feel like I can never listen to the record.
Like the live energy behind
it. Yeah, or like the songs themselves are okay, but something just didn't translate in the recording for me. Like the vocals just didn't sound right to me or something.
That'll happen sometimes.
I don't know. I haven't listened to it in a while. But, what should we...
So... You kind of answered what my first question was.
Okay, sorry. Am I just supposed to, like, ramble?
No, you can ramble. I don't care, man. Because I was just wondering, because, I mean, you've played in bands, you know most everybody, and I was just wondering if, like, you were familiar with them beforehand, like, if you were already on good terms, or if it was, you know, just like, oh, yeah, these guys are great. Now I'm going to be, you know, like, what's your relationship with that?
With them specifically?
Yeah.
I would say, like, just like as a fan early on, and then I mean, like I said, like writing that story was really like kind of like a turning point in my writing career for sure. I mean, that was my first cover story for like a real magazine, and I went on to write like four or five more over the next like 10 years. But that was like big, because, you know, I was still in school, and I had like a poster of it, and it was also right when AP was changing over. You know, AP has changed a lot, and at the point when I was in college, and sort of like the tail end of when I started working there, kind of is when it changed. They brought in some new people, but it was like Disturbed was on the cover, like Creed, ICP, Cold Chamber. I mean,
all
like
great bands.
I'm not making any of this up. Like, you know, like ICP, like they would, those are like huge issues. They'd do all these crazy covers, and then, you know, cool stuff too. But it was like kind of like a shitty, like, era for mainstream music. Like, they were kind of covering what was popular and alternative, and like that's what was popular. I mean, they also had Nirvana on the cover and Fugazi and stuff. So they were kind of changing over, and when I read that story, it was 100 bands you need to know, and the bands you needed to know were, in 2001, were Saves the Day and AFI. It was a split cover, and they had like both gotten signed to, I think, DreamWorks or some major, and they were both like, and then it became like Dashboard, then Disturbed. Like, they would alternate months, and then it just became, you know, what it was for when I was there. So that was cool. This record was really, like, part of, like, that first wave for them. And so it was big for me. And, yeah, and like I said, over the years, me and Chris kind of stayed in touch. And, yeah, he's come on my podcast, and we talk a lot, and hopefully we have an idea to launch a project together that we were talking about today that I hope works out.
You're a man of many projects, Jonah.
Well, that is sort of my problem also. Everyone's like, you're doing so much cool stuff. I'm like, I know, but I also live somewhere super expensive. So, and a lot of it is like just like sort of like a passion project.
Yeah.
But it's important. I mean, doing stuff like this is great. Like, and everything that, all the stuff I do like that, like, talking to interesting people about cool topics without everyone, like, checking their cell phone every 4 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the best thing.
That is true.
So,
I mean, if you're doing it, you're passionate about it. You're enjoying what it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, we talked specifically a lot about, like, a song like This Is Not an Exit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was sort of, like, I don't want to put words in Chris's mouth, but I feel like that was, at this point, he was kind of, like, discovering Eastern religions. And to me, like, that song, I listened to it today, and it's like, so, it still is, like, so resonant. And, like, the idea behind it, like, you know, like, lying in the ocean, just, like, letting go, like, easing the plugs out of the dam. Like, it's, like, the imagery and everything, it really feeds into, like, a lot of those ideas, but it's also like really simple and well put and poetic, and I feel like I still like get something out of it, even though it was written by like whatever, like a 22-year-old 10 years ago in his parents' basement. it's really crazy. I mean, like Cars and Calories, I don't have no idea what that's about still. it's oddly specific.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and like, yeah, some of them I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's I feel like it deals with a lot of, like, really serious topics, but not in, like, a depressing way. And also, you know, this was, like, I remember me and Chris talked in the story for AP, which, like, I, like, cannot imagine reading. It must be just so, so terribly written. But we talked, you know, there's, like, that song on here where it's, like, As Your Ghost Takes Flight, I think, where it's, like, you know, I want to hang you on a cross and use buckets to catch your blood.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that was on the earlier records, too, all this stuff about, like, swallow your guts in my colon, all that stuff. Like, I remember talking to him in the store, and he's like, yeah, it's like, that's a metaphor. Like, I don't really want to, like, catch buckets with someone. And it's like, at that point, like, I was like, oh. I sort of was confused, too. I was like, I like this song. It's catchy. But, like, is this dude, like, a serial killer? And it sounds silly, but it's like when you're like a teenager, or just saying, like, I didn't really understand. Because, like I said, like, no one was really writing lyrics like this. Like, you know, the Ghetto Kids or something were writing songs about girls.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in, like, not in a, in this type of way. Like, they
were writing. It was
writing,
more straightforward.
Yeah,
like,
it's
kind of
literal.
Got it.
Totally,
like,
totally.
Oh, she's moving to Boston or something, you know, just like some weird thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was much easier to understand. This, I felt like, was working on, like, another level, which is, like, why I think it still is so interesting, but at the time I feel like it took a while to sink in, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's still sinking in.
Yeah, and I feel like this is one of those albums that it's that maturing thing, but it actually paid off. You know, some bands, like, the audience will not accept it. They're like, no, go back to what you were.
Totally.
Which I think they kind of caught the flack for later with, like, In Reverie. And
right,
stuff.
Well, you know what? I mean, I don't know, though. I mean, I feel like this record, maybe, like, their fans liked it,
mm-hmm.
like, me and you liked it, but, I mean, I don't know how well it really did. Like, I feel like, in the grand scheme of things, because they did this, and then they did In Reverie, and then they got dropped.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's not, and I feel like they have, like, a super core fan base now, but to me, like, this is one of those records, like, Jawbreakers, Dear You, or something where, like, a band makes just this incredible major label debut, and then it kind of fizzles out, and then, you know, like, they're back to kind of where they... It's strange to me. It's like, you couldn't make a better record. So I'm not sure why this didn't become, like, you know, like a Blue Album type situation or something. Because I feel like it's, you know, it's in that ballpark to me.
Yeah. But this was also during that period where the market was so saturated, though, you know? Like, there's just, like...
That's true.
1,000 releases every week, so...
Yeah, no, totally. And I don't know what happened to DreamWorks. Like, they could have... I mean, like, I don't know how hard they pushed it. I know they had a video for At Your Funeral... for this record, but I don't know if they even had, like, another single. I don't think, or another video.
One?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I know they had that one with the Muppets.
Oh, yeah,
on the
yeah,
next
the
record.
Freakish. Yeah. No, Freakish.
They had a video for Freakish.
It's on this, yeah. And they had that. That's with the Muppets.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was from the next record.
Nah, and in Reverie, I forget what was
the Anywhere With You, single. They must have had a video.
Yeah,
First one, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, so, I don't know. I mean, I will say, like, I was surprised that no one else has picked it, especially when I looked on your list and I was like, Clarity, Bleed American, like, someone has got to have this, like, 8 days away, like, this is in the same wheelhouse for sure.
That is true. I feel like a few people have floated possibly doing Saves the Day, but nothing yet.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in Singapore last year, and I was at, like, a flea market, and I was, like, going through, like, they had, like, Rock Band t-shirts. It was all, like, classic rock stuff. And then they had this red Stay What You Are shirt, and I, like, it was, like, $2. And it was, like, too small for me, which is, like, I wear small t-shirts, and this, it was definitely too small. But I, like, bought it because I was like, someone will want this. And it's like, this is crazy. I'm finding this in Asia. And I Instagrammed a picture to Chris, and he was like, yeah, that's the shirt we sold on the tour. So I gave it to him when he was here to give to his kid.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm never going to wear this. But it's so crazy. I feel like this record, like, it pops up everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, in Asia. Like, it's like no one in this flea market, thousands of people, no one else knew who Saves the Day was, I'm sure. Like, really, like, there were not very many Americans there. So it was... Yeah, it's really weird how I feel like it kind of, like, weaves in and out.
Yeah.
Do you have any records like that?
I got a bunch, man.
Yeah?
It's tough. I mean, even with this stuff, with, like, the Saves the Day stuff, it's weird. Like, I remember the first time I was around Chris for an extended period of time, it was so, like, surreal to me because it's just like, don't freak out. Don't be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was on the road with them for about... 6 days, I think, on tour with when they did the Motion City Say Anything tour.
Okay.
Because I went out with the Leaves. And I had already known Arun because we'd, like, talked about hockey. Like, we'd be at bars and just talk about hockey. And Claudio was drumming for them at the time. So when I first got to Florida to meet them up for the tour, Chris was sitting there with a bunch of guys. And I was walking in with my bag. And I was like, holy shit, all right, it's Chris Conley. And Jesse's like, hey, do you guys know Adam? This is Adam. He's going to be riding with the Leaves. I'm like, hey, guys. And Chris turns to me and he goes, hey, man, is this your first tour? I just look at him and I go, yes, it is. And he just responds, deadpan, be prepared to see a lot of dicks. And I was just like, I calmed down like instantly. I was like, okay, he's a normal guy. But every time like I interacted with him, I had that like moment like, oh, shit, man.
Did you see a lot of dicks on that tour?
I didn't see a single dick.
Really?
Yeah.
You are a lucky man.
I don't know how. It just worked out that I didn't see a single dick.
Yeah. Well, that is a successful tour.
Look, I've managed to escape all the tours I've been on with no dick sightings.
So very nice.
That is.
Yeah, that is so funny, man. What else? Is there anything else you usually ask about records? I don't know. I feel like... If you don't know this record, you should listen to it, because I feel like it. Like I said, I feel like it still sounds like completely relevant, and I feel like a lot of records from them don't. I mean,
yeah, you don't think?
No, man.
I mean, I could see Can't Slow Down if you're older. It just doesn't work.
I feel like Through Being Cool still holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will say, I'm not saying a lot of their records don't, I'm saying a lot
just
of
like
records
stuff from
in
that.
General.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I try to listen, like, even, like, Face to Face was, like, one of my favorite bands. I listen to them now, I'm like, dude, every song's about, like, this vague motivational speech about, like, trying. It's like, you try, it's okay, try. And I'm just like, dude, I'm not getting anything out of this. Like, these lyrics are just, like, so vague. Whereas, like, these lyrics are, like, I feel like there's something under them, whereas, like, a lot of those bands, I've felt like the lyrics were more of just something to go on top of the music.
Yeah.
So that's something else that's cool about it.
I hear you. And like you're saying you were listening to this when you were trying to figure out what album to go with. Is it an album you listen to regularly? Or
It is. I feel like I listen to it pretty regularly. Like maybe I'll go a couple months here or there without listening to it, but I feel like I come back to it pretty consistently. Because I feel like you can sort of always get something else out of it or like... Yeah, I don't know, something about it. Like I said, I feel like I just have so many associations with it, and like I said, I feel like it was really big for my career. I feel like it's one of the reasons why AP hired me was because I was doing stuff like this with my own zine first, so then, you know, I feel like it helped me get my foot in the door there, the fact that we're covering bands like this. And it's weird, when I was home, I was looking at my old zine, Law of Inertia, because I have, like, boxes and boxes of them in my parents' basement that they want me to get rid of. But I was like sending, tweeting photos of it, and like I brought up Saves the Day like 8 times. Like in my reviews, I was like, "This band sounds like Saves the Day back when they played fast and couldn't get girls." And I said something else, like all this stuff where like, I'm like, what was I talking, like almost like aggro-y. And I was like reading it and I was like, I think I was like obsessed with this band.
You might have been.
So going from that to then the AP to then whatever now, like, yeah, it's like I've spent all day talking and thinking about this band. So it's like, this is like a great way to cap it off.
Just get it all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, what I like about this album is that every time I'll go through it, I'll have like a different favorite track. Like, yeah. Depending on my mood, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
It's so weird. Like Nightingale and See You and Freakish, Firefly, you know, and then it's constantly rotating.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I feel the same way. What do you think Cars and Calories is about?
I have no idea, dude. I give up on trying to understand what songs are about after a point, because I'm like, even if I get it, it's going to be completely wrong.
Yeah, I've never asked about it, but I mean, it's obviously writing like a narrative about a character, which is like not really. I feel like a lot of the songs read more as like autobiographical, so that's why I feel like it's a little bit not what you'd expect, sort of.
Hmm. And I decided to sit this song out and give you a story.
And I don't know. I mean, I've always like also wondered about this cover, which is like sort of. It's also like what are you supposed to take from it? Like, what do you think it represents? Do you think it's just like a cool picture, or do you think that like this sun like is representing like? Because I feel like "Stay What You Are" is such a strong phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, maybe it's just you're at that point where, I'm trying to think of like a way that doesn't sound dumb. Like, you just reach that moment in life where you're just trying to figure it all out, like what to do next, or is there something about you that's not right? And you're like, fuck that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's so many interpretations, which is, like, I think interesting that we can still talk about this now, where it's like, we're not going to, like, have this conversation about Notari's record. What does it all mean?
I actually just hit someone up on GChat the other day, because I ended up listening to the Ataris, and I was like, remember that time, that point in time where, like, the Ataris were a thing? Like, people were, like, super into that, like, that
yeah, man.
Two-album run, I guess.
Wow. Those guys fell hard.
Yeah.
Did you see the last I heard from them was when, like, Chris Rowe, like, freaked out and,
oh,
like
breaking drums
broke his drums because, like, his drummer made a mistake? And it's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
And then did you see the drummer make a response video?
No.
Chris Rowe made this video explaining the situation that was, like, super serious. And then the drug guy who got kicked out made this, like, jokey response video, like, that was so funny and, like, 100 times better.
Oh, man.
It's great. You should check it out.
It's just covering the Boys of Summer was their downfall, I think.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? You can ask Alien Ant Farm. I would say making your big single a cover song is, man, that is a tough way to set up a band that wants to have longevity.
That's true.
Like, it's not unheard of, but it's tough.
Yeah. And I love Alien on Ant Farm. Like, seriously, I don't know.
I love Don Henley. I do. I've listened to a lot of Don Henley lately.
Oh, man. Yeah. Fuck, man.
I'm listening. Do you get this thing as you get older? All of a sudden, I start listening to, like, Don Henley, like, Steve Winwood, Bruce Hornsby. And I'm like, dude, but just, like, kind of their hits. Like, and, like, Rod Stewart, I'm like, this is a pretty good song. Like, and I'm like, man, I'm not listening to, like, the punk versions of these songs
anymore. Yeah, you're going.
I'm going, like, to the original. And I'm like, these songs are, like, vaguely depressing. And they're singing about Reagan. But, like, the hooks are really good. And, like, also, what does this mean about me? And, like, why am I so sad? And it's like,
wow, man, you've got some interesting nights.
Yeah, it's this is what happens when I'm.
Are you wearing a members only jacket? Like,
yeah,
listening to these,
I am.
You are.
I am. I'm sitting on my balcony, just pondering all this stuff. And but yeah, I would say also, like, you know, I feel like the album is so much about like self awareness and like that sort of like what what those guys, like what Chris is about now with like his meditation practice and all that stuff that I've talked about with him. So I think it's interesting to be like listening to a record thinking like, what record should I do? Mm-hmm. And like, what other thing in your life, the answer is so obvious and in front of your face and you can't see it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of this thing I was talking about today. Did you ever see this commencement address David Foster Wallace gave at Kenyon College in 2005?
I watched it a long time ago, yeah.
So it's awesome. And I have it like printed out and I kind of like hang it up on my desk and I look at it sometimes. And it starts out with him being like, one day there's an old fish swimming past two younger fishes, and he says, the water's great, or something today, and one fish looks at the other fish and goes, what the hell is water? And he's like, I'm saying this to illustrate that, like, the most obvious things in our lives we cannot recognize. And that, I feel like, is, like, my experience with this record, and I feel like those ideas are, like, sort of present in this record. I feel like they became kind of more pronounced later, maybe more developed, but, like, to me, there's so many ideas, like, I can't believe someone so young, like, in New Jersey, like, made something like this. Like, not in an insulting way, but in a way where it's like, holy shit, like, where did this come from?
That's true, yeah.
So, like, I don't...
It's profound.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, I don't want to, like, build it up too much, but, I
no,
mean...
No, it's great. And just in terms of, like, self-awareness of the record, like, that's something that's always relevant, you know? People are always kind of just... I don't know, it's relatable, I guess, is the way...
Totally, because, like at your funeral, you know, like, everyone dies, like, everyone has to deal with death... But it's, you know, to me, like, it's, like, a super upbeat song. It's not, like, a bum out.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, I mean, that's, like, a universal concept. What other concepts? According to the Wikipedia page, this deals with, the album deals with death, love, suicide, materialism, self-discovery, and loneliness.
Also, every time you say to me, Saves the Day just starts ringing in my head. Is it like, to me, you are the...
Yeah.
And it's just every single time, it just plays in my head.
That's what you are to me, Adam.
It's nice to know, man.
Yeah, no. This also says that it has a shift from the band's previous power chord based sound and feature more intricate guitar work and arrangements. I would agree with that. The van accident was a summary. Compare the video to At Your Funeral to Requiem for a Dream.
That's a bummer of a movie.
Yeah, that is a bummer of a movie. Did you see Noah?
No.
I wanted to see it because Aronofsky did it.
Mm.
But.
That's what. What the hell's that guy's name? The guy who starred in it.
Is Russell Crowe in
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't, it just looks weird.
Yeah, it looks weird. I think he's a pretty good actor. But, yeah. I get it. Oh, this is their best-selling album, selling over 300,000 copies. And it's widely regarded as a classic and highly influential piece of music for the emo and pop-punk genres.
Your smirk as you read that. I wish I could take a picture of that.
Listen, like... It's not a sentence that I would write.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate,
I guess.
Would
early Jonah write that?
Oh, for sure. Early Jonah would write something so much worse.
Would you be all over this emo revival thing going on?
you know, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because I feel like even with our emo revival happening, it's not the bands that I care about so much. Like, I feel like I'm always in the minority. Like, American Football and Mineral are cool. And, like, I went to the Christy Front Drive reunion. I like it. But to me, like, I was way more excited about, like, the Jazz June reunion or, like, if Gray did a reunion show or, like, I don't know. They're not – the emo reunion bands, to me, like, they're just – a lot of them are bands I didn't get into.
Mm. Gotcha.
At least recently. I don't know. What about you?
I'm going to that American Football.
I think that'll be awesome. I was into Captain Jazz, like, and I went to their reunion shows.
Yeah, I got into them way after they had already broken up and everything, so, you know, listening to that album for the past few years, it's good. Getting a chance to see them live, why not?
Yeah, you should do it.
You know? Get some good music in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think there's a revival of band, like, emo bands like this, like, in the sense of, like, I felt like American Football and, like, I didn't think of them as having, like, they were more... like technical, I felt like,
mm-hmm.
and that like when I think of emo, to me it's like the Get Up Kids. It's like maybe this early stuff. It's like just like your heart's broken, like even like Bright Eyes, like it's like,
oh man, Bright Eyes.
That to me, like that, like super raw, like kind of cheesy, but like kind of like you still like it. That to me is like the crux of emo for me.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you know, like I know whatever, like Right to Spring, like that's technically the roots, but to me it's like that's what really, like, because that's, I guess, like when I was forming those synapses or growing up.
Yeah. The best mixtape feel when yeah. you're in high school.
Speaking of Bright Eyes, I saw Conor Oberst 2 weeks ago at Rough Trade.
Oh, geez. How was that?
And Dawes is his backing band now. It was so fucking awesome. And his new record is so good.
I haven't checked it out yet.
It's called, I think, Upside Down Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. The songs are so good. He actually played a lot of Bright Eyes stuff. He played a lot of stuff off I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning.
Ah, okay.
Because I feel like that album is, like, very, like, kind of, like, fits in really well with what he's doing now because it was a kind of folky. Yeah. But, yeah, he's doing that, and he's great. And you guys should, it's not my favorite album.
But
it may be one of my favorite albums of the year.
Actually, just popped in my head, random memory. What was that one album he did?
Casadega.
Casadega. I remember I was with you one night. We were hanging out at a bar, and you had just gotten your hands on a copy of it. And you were so stoked to get home to listen to it on CD.
Oh, yeah.
But then we went and got burritos instead. And then you went home to listen to it.
That must have been a long time
that
ago.
That was years ago, dude. That's known each other for a while.
I guess. Was that before I lived here? I've lived here about 7 years, 7 or 8 years.
It was right around then.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy that that album came with, well, the cool thing was that the Ouija board,
yeah.
And then it came with like a thing you can navigate the Ouija board with. And you know, Casadega is a town in Florida that is known because it's like there's so many psychics in it. It's kind of like this weird town in Florida that's all psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there, and that's kind of what that record was about. I mean, I will say Conor Oberst, I don't know if you listened to the last Bright Eyes record, The People's Key. Do you ever listen to that?
I've heard that one.
Came out a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
It is so good. And he has this guy on there that's talking about, like, how the universe formed and, like, all the stuff about, like, the nature of humanity. I feel like him and Chris are on, like, a similar kind of, like, trajectory where it's, like, they're, like, open to these very, like, mystic spiritual ideas. And that record is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. There's a song with blast beats on it.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. The third song.
I've heard this.
It's a really cool record.
Huh. I'll have to. It's just some of those songs really bum me out, man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's not like that so much anymore.
Oh,
like,
there was a point where I just had to stay away. I was like, I can't listen to this. I'm going to be sad.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I'll say, like, nothing positive is going to happen for me, like, sitting in the dark listening to, like, Fevers and Mirrors. Like, that is just, like, such a heartbreaking experience.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Now, to bring it back to this, with their last two albums, with Daybreak and the self-titled, do you think they're still, like, on this wavelength? Like, Saves Day as a band, like, Chris as a writer, or do you think he's kind of, like, past this?
I think,
or maybe he's just expanded on it to the point where
I think it's like, man, I think it's all part of the journey. Like, I feel like that album trilogy, which was, I guess, Sound the Alarm, Under the Boards, and Daybreak.
Yeah.
I think that was like the next step of like this. Like, I feel like that this was like him, like kind of like real. And I talked about specifically this with him today. So it's like I'm not really speaking for him, but. But yeah, I think this album was him like getting those ideas and sort of like putting them out there and maybe like telling people a little bit, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the next albums were him kind of like those ideas sinking in. So I feel like it's all a progression. I mean, musically, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I feel like Sound the Alarm is, to me, the closest thing to that is Can't Slow Down. Like, Sound the Alarm is like a hardcore record.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
It's like pick slides and fast drums. It's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great record. I mean, Manny from Glassjaw played on it, who's like incredible bass player. So, yeah, it's a great record. And then Under the Boards and Daybreak, to be honest, like I didn't spend as much time with. But I feel like even if I'm not listening to the record, like I feel like there is so much like craftsmanship and intent behind all the lyrics. To me, it's just interesting as like I feel like everything is very deliberate, but I feel like it's all kind of an extension. Like it's all, and that's the interesting thing is like, you know, you can watch, especially with a band like this, where it's like basically one person's narrative.
Yeah.
Because Chris is the only original member. Yeah. You can sort of see where they were at that point. Like, I mean, like you look at photos, or you read old journals, but like imagine having a record that's like, this is like where I was in life, and this is like how my perspective, because it's like, you can tell, like, those early records, like, he's, like, super angry.
Yeah.
Like, and frustrated. And then I feel like with this album was, like, a real shift where it was, like, opening up. And then I think, like, that exploring. And then it's interesting. I feel like you can really follow, like, a narrative of someone's life that way. So to me, like, that's why this album is so cool, is because it's, like, that turning point. And, you know, that could be a turning point for anyone. You know, yeah. Listening to it, I feel like maybe that could be a turning point for you. Maybe it makes you kind of more comfortable with you, or it turns you on to meditation, or it turns you on to, like, some different ideas. So that's what's cool, because, you know, it's Stay What You Are, but I feel like it's also, like, maybe that's, like, a better version of you, or, like, your higher consciousness or something. Huh. Or maybe I'm just, like, reading way too much into this, which is also completely possible.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Come on. Everything's open for interpretation.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oof. I don't even know, man. I mean, it's kind of like coming to peace with things. Just like coming to peace with who you are, I guess, yeah. Like the same thing, like being an angry youth and then just coming through. He's a family man now, you know. He's
totally
in love with that stuff. And he's still getting to do what he loves and, you know, share it with the fans. That's got to be good.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I think it all worked out great for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad that you did a podcast.
Yeah, and this is all because of this.
It's all because of this. Yeah, it all stemmed from this album.
You would not be listening to
this. Yeah.
This podcast would not have happened if this album had not been put out. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you cannot say that about Tragic Kingdom, Jessica.
Wow.
Yeah, you heard me.
I'm going to hear shit for that one.
I had to, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good, that's good. So I usually I don't know why I always say I usually like, I always do this. I always put a song at the end of the episode that the guest picks from the album that either you feel like nicely encompasses a thing or you just think people would enjoy listening to, you know, whatever. So what track would you go with? Would you think is the best to go?
I would go with This Is Not an Exit for sure.
Okay.
I feel like that song to me, like lyrically, musically, like it's not the most upbeat song, but I feel like it really like kind of embodies all the stuff we've been talking about, and it's I feel like you can it's like timeless, like you can apply what it's saying to anything. So mm-hmm. I think I would pick that. It's maybe not like the most representative of the album, but it's like my favorite song. I think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah.
That's the thing. It's just the thing.
It's just a thing.
You know. And then one day, hopefully, I'll get Chris on here. And I'll get to...
You should, man.
I reached out to him. I gotta go through some more channels.
I wonder what he would pick.
Yeah, I was trying to wonder about...
I feel like he would pick a Beatles record.
I'd be so down for that.
Yeah?
I'd...
Have you had any Beatles yet?
No, not yet.
Really?
One guy, my buddy Alex, who does the Star Wars Minute podcast, he's probably going to do a Beatles album. He's big into that. Plus, a few of us, we've got a project... That I'll explain when we stop recording.
Yeah.
That I think you'd probably do.
Someone should do it. It's not me.
Yeah.
But someone should.
Yeah. And there's so much good music by them.
It's absolutely great. For sure.
Any parting words on Stay What You Are or anything?
Stay What You Are? No. I mean, if you've made it this long, like, wow. Thank you. That is impressive. But yeah, great record. Awesome bass lines. Cool lyrics. Yeah, you should check it out. You should listen to it. If you're kind of younger and, like, this is, like, I don't know, like, an older record to you you've never heard of, just check it out. Because I feel like it's not really, like, going to sound dated to you. It's going to sound cool and interesting, and you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. Dude.
Yeah, maybe one day you'll be sitting on your balcony listening to it, pondering what your favorite album is, and then it's going to hit you.
It's probably going to be the Ataris.
Yeah, it's probably going to be So Long a Story.
Oh, so sad.
It's a sad realization. Get ready for it.
Yep, that's when you know you've You've hit rock bottom, maybe?
Oh, man. That's not a good place to be.
No.
I'm sorry that's going to happen to all of you listening to this.
So, Jonah, all your projects that give us some okay. info on all this stuff.
I will. When is this going to come out?
This will be out Tuesday, June 10th.
June 10th. Wow. Okay. Well, today I have my web series debuting on Above Average called Sound Advice with Janessa Slater. It's a web series co-created by me and my sister, Vanessa Bayer, you might know from Saturday Night Live. And she interviews bands as a very literal media coach. So we have a bunch of episodes starting up today. So you can check it out now. And our first episode, the one coming out today, is her interviewing Drake.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really funny. And you can check it out, I believe, on Hulu, NBC.com, and Above Average. So it's Sound Advice with Janessa Slater. Also, my band United Nations have a record coming out July 15th on Temporary Residence. It's called The Next 4 Years. And by the time this airs, you can stream our first song, Serious Business, on Vice's music site, Noisy. So that'll be up. Search for it. And going off track every Wednesday.
You do way too much,
man. I know. I'm sorry. This is going on way
no,
too long.
No, this is great. Go for it.
We release a new episode every Wednesday, I believe. By the time this comes out, will be episode 111. And I don't know who it's with, but it's going to be with someone great. We have like a bunch of, we do like a bunch, like build them up and then release them.
Yeah.
So, this week was Adam Vass from La Dispute. We just had on Jack Antonoff from Fun talking about punk rock. We were some other cool ones. We just had Jake Bellows from Neva De Nova, who I'm a big fan of. I think maybe this week is Chris Farron and Jeff Rosenstock. So that should be good. But yeah, so that's, you can check that out on iTunes, Going Off Track or goingofftrack.com. And then aside from that, you can check out my writing on Noisy, the AV Club sometimes, Inked, Wandering Sound, which is like eMusic's new site. Just places like that. You can just check I'm on Twitter. My name is Jonah. So I like bug you with promoting all my stuff there. I try not to be like too pushy about it because that's super annoying. But yeah, that's everything. I'm sorry that was like so incredibly long.
You just made me realize I don't do much.
No. You do plenty, man. You have a job. That's that's half the battle.
And Steve Smith, if you're listening, you want to do this, let's do this, man.
Dude, Steven will totally do
and
it.
And also, if Jeff is ever interested.
Yeah, I'm sure those guys would love to do it.
I like talking about music with people. It's fun.
Yeah. Jeff, my bandmate, Steven, my podcast mate. I'll put you in touch with those dudes for sure.
Sounds good. I want to thank you again, Jonah, for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope it wasn't too, like, rambly.
I like it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I want to thank everyone for listening again. Remember, you can find this on whatever, the internet, yourfavoritealbum.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Facebook, all that fun stuff. And we're going to leave you with This Is Not an Exit by Save the Day off the album Stay What You Are. Until next week, have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
Tonight will be the night that we begin to plugs out of the dam, and we will stand knee deep in the flow. The undertow, grab our heels and won't let go. And while we hold, our legs quiver, and the water rises now to our teeth when we just let go. And despair can ravage you.